As we've been reporting, Governor Ducey signed at least the education funding portion of the budget already early this morning, giving teachers a 20% raise by 2020. It's a plan he first introduced weeks ago in an attempt to head off the teacher walkout that's been going on for the past six school days across the state.
But it didn't work. Teachers and education advocates criticized the plan for being based on overly optimistic economic forecasts, among other reasons that they criticized it. So Governor Ducey last week wrote an open letter about it and addressed some of those concerns.
He said leading economists in Arizona and around the country agree our state is showing momentum in key metrics like job growth, population increases, and corresponding income gains.
One of those economists was Dennis Hoffman, professor of economics at ASU's W.P. Carey School of Business and director of the Seidman Research Institute there. He has been forecasting revenue for the executive budget office since 1983, and he says a lot goes into these forecasts, and they are designed to be pretty conservative estimates of the economy's growth. So I got him on the line to talk more about why he thinks these numbers are solid and how he thinks we should fund education in our state going forward.
In the bottom line to all of this, the numbers that the governor's built his plan on are pretty much my baseline numbers or slightly below the current baseline numbers. Mm-hmm. So I do believe they're reasonable. The governor's office has revised up their revenue forecasts, but their primary consultant, the ASU model, really hasn't revised up all that much and certainly was not revised up in short order 2 weeks ago. It's been what it's been for months now. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that they're unreasonable, and I'd be pleased if you called other economists, call people across the nation, call my counterpart down at the U of A. You know, I don't think anybody finds them particularly unreasonable. So, you know, it's just not outlandish. So the concern I hear voiced, and I want to give all due respect to people that have concerns about, quote, permanent revenue streams. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I mean, most people have memories of 2009 when revenues evaporated. Mm-hmm. But frankly, anything I can think of in the revenue base, if it's individual income tax, if it's sales tax, anything I can think of, maybe with the exception of property taxes, but any revenue stream that I've ever looked at is really quite volatile over the business cycle. And you can set a particular tax rate to raise a pot of money today, but that pot will fluctuate over the business cycle. So right now, I think that there's sufficient money in the budget to make the revenue numbers that the governor's office told me they need to make this plan work. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my caveat. I'm not an expert on the expenditure side, so I am not prepared to answer a question about, is this enough money to pay for X raises or whatever?
You're just saying the economic forecasts are solid.
They told me they needed a set of revenue growth numbers to make their plan work. And they simply asked me to, again, review their revenue numbers and compare them with what I had been producing, you know, this year, and to provide them feedback as mm-hmm. to whether or not I thought that those revenue numbers were reasonable. And
sure.
I do believe that they are
sure.
Reasonable.
Right. So let me ask you this. So in the newer version of the budget,
yes.
They say that they are relying less on those revenue forecasts for the future. And they're using things like new vehicle registration fees to put into education
yeah.
funding. So do you think that makes for shaky ground to walk on financially, to kind of sweep funds from one category to another? Those vehicle fees were supposed to be used for things like fixing roads. Now they're going to teacher pay. Does that affect forecasts, moving money around like that?
To be honest with you, I take a longer-term perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking from Professor Hoffman at ASU. I'm not speaking for the governor's office
right.
here. In my world, you know, I think that that we've been challenged, but in a budget perspective in this state, because we have made far too many tax cuts, but not necessarily recently. I'm talking over decades.
Mm-hmm.
The individual income tax rates were some 40% higher in the mid-1990s than they are today, 40% higher. We have cut the vehicle license tax. The general fund today does not get what it got back in the late 90s. So in my mind, when I heard this discussed, it sounded to me more like a reset back to numbers that prevailed back in the 90s.
Sure.
And that's the kind of thing I've been advocating for. And I think that actually it's a tax revenue source that's relatively stable.
One more thing I have for you, Dennis. So
sure.
There's also this ballot measure out there that would tax the richest 1% in the state in order to fund education. And that may be on the ballot in November and May.
Yes.
Do you think that that would be a good supplement to this budget plan, to using, you know, these economic forecasts and things like the vehicle license tax to fund education in case something does happen in the economy in the future and we experience some sort of dip or recession? There's still this other funding source.
Well, let me weigh in on this. Here's some important things to know about people in high income groups. First of all, their income is really very volatile. So it would be prudent, if we were to do this as a state, not to spend every nickel that comes in every year, but to kind of recognize the fact that there'll be good years and bad years and set aside kind of a rainy day fund out of this pool.
Mm-hmm.
So that if I were advising people spending money out of this pool, that's what I would definitely have them do. Now, it is a step in the direction of this reset that I spoke to before. I think the state was in better shape when our individual income tax rates were actually higher. But frankly, the cuts have occurred across all income groups. So, my particular preference, and you'll tell from this preference that I'm not much of a politician, I think, but my preference would be to have everybody share, at least according to their means, in the fiscal needs of the state and in paying for education. I think that economic system, that public finance systems work well when everyone has kind of a stake in the game, and that we're not just trying to target one set of taxpayers to pay the bill.
All right. Dennis Hoffman is a professor of economics and the director of the Seedman Research Institute at ASU's W.P. Carey School of Business. Dennis, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this.
Thank you very much, and have a great day.